Yes, here we go again. It's Alan Young, buried deep in trouble. And as usual, we gotta dig him out. Listen to that young man who tries to be helpful and always needs help himself, Alan Young.
Well, Betty, did you enjoy that movie tonight?
Oh, yes. Cary Grant is so romantic. Alan, I wonder if you could kiss like he does. Go ahead, kiss me.
Oh, I don't want to.
Oh, go ahead, kiss me. It isn't anything.
No, I don't want to.
Go on, it isn't anything.
Well, okay. There.
You're right, it isn't anything.
Well, that gives you an idea of what happens to Alan in tonight's story, which you'll hear in just a moment. Well, it is late evening, and Alan has just returned from the movies with his girl, Betty Dittenpfeffer. As we look in on them now, they're in the Dittenpfeffer parlor, and the only light in the room is the soft glow from the blazing logs and the open fireplace.
Alan, isn't it heavenly here?
Yeah.
The logs blazing, me sitting here knitting, you standing in front of the fire, smoking.
Smoking? I must be standing too close to the fire.
Alan, come and sit down beside me on this bearskin rug.
All right.
Alan, I just noticed, why does this bearskin have such a stupid expression on his face?
He must have been stupid. He wouldn't be lying here in front of the fireplace.
Gee, Alan, I keep thinking about that movie we saw tonight. Mm. Wasn't Cary Grant wonderful? Remember that scene where he took his girl to that fancy French nightclub?
Yeah, boy, was he sophisticated. When the beautiful foreign spy dropped her olive to attract his attention, he didn't just kick it under the table. He bent down, picked up the olive, handed it to her. She said, "Merci beaucoup," which means don't bother to wipe it off.
Why don't you take me to a nightclub sometimes? You know, a girl likes dancing.
Why don't you tell me you like dancing? Why, last night when I took you to that fancy restaurant, they had music. We could have put down our trays and danced.
I mean a real nightclub, Alan.
I can't afford it, Betty. I haven't built up my sign painting business yet. Nightclub costs so much money. There's hat check charges, cover charges, tips for the waiters, a la carte meals. Why, an evening there can run into $2 or $3.
Oh, Alan, Cary Grant didn't worry about money in the picture. He was so wonderful.
Wonderful. Betty, if you want to look closely, you'll see that I'm a perfect double for Cary Grant.
He's got such nice dark hair.
I got blonde hair.
He's 6 feet two.
I'm 5 foot ten.
He weighs 190.
I weigh 130.
Then how does that make you and Carrie perfect doubles?
It's easy. Take away his physique and his good looks, and what do you got? Me.
Why, Alan, I think you're jealous.
Jealous? Who's jealous? Cary Grant. I spent 80 cents for movies, 10 cents for caramels. What does she talk about? Cary Grant. From now on, Betty sees nothing but Lassie pictures. I'm as good looking as Lassie any day. You know?
Oh, hello, Betty. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Father.
Say, what's going on here? Why are you two sitting so far apart?
Ask Alan.
Alan, why are you two sitting so far apart?
Ask Cary Grant. I took her to see one of his movies, and that's all she talks about.
Alan, I know just how it is. I had the same trouble when I was courting Mrs. Dittenpfeffer.
You did?
Yes. Why, to this very day, we don't mention the name of William S. Hart around here.
Betty, did you and Hubert Updike have a nice time at the lodge meeting?
Yes. I taught Hubert how to play poker. Won $14 from him. He'll be right in. I left him outside parking the car.
That's all I need to make my evening complete. Another one of your boyfriends. Cary Grant, that rich Hubert Updike.
Hello, Betty. I'm here. I'm here. Come gather me in your arms. Oh, cheerio, Alan. I understand you took Betty to see a picture with Cary Grant.
Yeah. It was a double feature. I also saw Walter Pugin. Cary Grant.
You know, Hubert, it just occurred to me. You could almost double for Cary Grant. Face me. Your nose is a slight obstacle.
What do you think, Papa?
Well, your chin is a slight obstacle. Turn around.
Now we come to a big obstacle.
Hubert, have you ever thought of going into the movies?
Oh, indeed, indeed. I was offered a part in a very big picture.
Oh, which one was that?
That new one, Our Vines Have Tender Avocados. Oh, that was a witty one.
Hubert, these two have had a little quarrel. Suppose we leave them alone while you and I play some more poker.
Oh, goody, I love that game. It's so expensive.
Well, let's go into the study, my pocket-sized national bank.
All right, and do explain to me why I paid a $5 fine for just getting those four aces.
Well, you see, Hubert, it's very simple. It's just...
Well, Betty, I guess I'll be going home. I have a big day tomorrow at my sign shop, and besides, I imagine you want to be alone with your memories of a certain movie actor.
I think it's silly of you to be jealous of Cary Grant because, well, you see, Cary is the kind of a man a girl dreams of getting. You're the kind she gets.
That does it. You'll be sorry, Betty. I'm leaving you now. Just wait till they're dragging the river for my body. They won't be able to find it.
Why?
I'll be at the Paramount. You can't kid me this way. I'll show her who's boss. I won't forgive her till I come crawling back to her on my hands and knees.
While Alan broods over Cary Grant, let's listen to the four chicks and Chuck sing "That Feeling in the Moonlight."
Did you ever get that feeling in the moonlight? That wonderful feeling that you want to be kissed? You're strolling in the park, the stars so bright above. You love to love somebody, but there's nobody there to love. Did you ever get that longing on a June night? That wonderful longing you can never resist.
you get that feeling in the moonlight, that feeling that says you want to be king. Did you ever get that feeling in the moonlight? That feeling that you want to be kissed.
Who, me?
Why, sure. Sit down, kid.
Calling in the park, the sky's so bright above. You love to love somebody, baby, but there's nobody there to love. Did you ever get that longing on a July? That wonderful longing you can never resist. Did you ever get that feeling in the moonlight? That feeling that always starts me reeling every time you say you want to be king.
Well, Alan has taken his quarrel with Betty pretty hard. It's the next day, and instead of working in a sign shop, he's across the street at Minnie's Meatball Palace, eating his heart out.
Well, Blue Eyes, do you feel any better now you got some... you feel any better now you got some grub in you?
No, Minnie, I could hardly eat a thing. How much do I owe you?
Let me see. Clam chowder, hamburger, steak, double order French fries, 4 meatballs, 2 cups of coffee, a slice of pie. That'll be 25 cents.
Here you are.
Thanks. Gee, you sure look down in the dumps. What's eating you, Blue Eyes?
Minnie, if you had to choose between a man like me and Cary Grant, who would you choose?
I'd pick a man like you.
You would?
Sure. When you're used to meatballs, you can't digest caviar. Oh, you've been fighting with your girl, hey?
Yeah, she's been comparing me to Cary Grant.
So what? You stack up all right against Cary Grant. Hmm? You got a lot of his features. Only on you, they don't look so good. Hey, why worry about Betty? Why don't you get yourself another girl?
I can't get another girl.
Are you kidding? Statistics prove there are 7 women to every man.
And some guy's walking around with 14 women.
Look, let me set you straight on love, Blue Eyes. I know plenty on the subject. I'm married to a sailor. Of course, I ain't seen him in the last 27 years.
You haven't seen your husband in 27 years?
No, he's been in the Navy all that time. I think he ought to be out soon. I figure he's got 975 points.
You don't think that, maybe he's left you?
Oh, no, he hasn't left me. He accepts my checks every week. Yeah, I got a letter from him only this morning. He's living with some friends in Paris. I think their names is, Folies Bergère.
Sounds like a fine old French family.
Yeah.
But you were going to straighten me out on love.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look, Blue Eyes. All we girls want is the little courtesies. Nightclubs, mink coats, a corset. Occasionally a corset of orchids. Yeah.
I can't give Betty those things. I haven't even got $5 to take her to a nightclub. My luck has run out, Minnie.
Look, Blue Eyes, you can't tell about luck. Mm. I was only reading in the paper this morning about some guy who bet on a horse named Jackpot and won $5,000.
That always happens to the other guy. I never won a thing in my life. I couldn't even win on this pinball machine here.
Why don't you try it? Mm. Yeah, try it. I'll be right back. One of my regular customers just come in. He eats nothing but meatballs and spaghetti. Hey, Chef, send out 2 yo-yos with plenty of string.
This is a pinball machine, huh? Yeah, I'll put in a nickel here. 10,000, 30,000, 60,000, 300,000, 650,000, 960,000. Looks like I'm gonna hit a million. I won. Hey, Minnie.
Yeah?
I won on the pinball machine.
Did the red lights and the blue lights flash?
Yeah.
And did the flag come up and start waving?
Yeah.
Did the machine spray confetti and ticker tape?
Yeah.
You won. Here's your nickel. You see, Blue Eyes, you see, your luck has started to change already.
All I get is my nickel back?
Oh, a nickel, huh? Oh, I forgot to tell you. There's also a grand prize of $5, which you get.
Gee, thanks. I guess my luck is changing.
Sure it is. Here's your dough. Run over and see your girl. Take her out and show her the time of her life. Good luck, kid.
So long, Minnie, and thanks a lot.
He's a nice boy. All he really won was a nickel, but I threw in the $5. And, Minnie, you're getting soft. Well, maybe it'll help him get back his girl. Gee, I'm feeling sentimental. Maybe I'll sit down here and write a letter to my husband. My darling Sam, why don't you come home, you good-for-nothing bum?
Betty, will you answer that phone? I'm reading the paper.
Hi, Daddy. Hello? Alan? You want to see me right away? But I have a date with Hubert tonight. What's that you say about Hubert? Will you say it again? There's a funny noise on the wire. Oh, that noise is what you're saying about Hubert. Alan, what are you excited about? You hit the jackpot and won $5. Well, if it's important, you can come over for a few minutes. Goodbye. Daddy, that was Alan.
Who cares? Listen to this in the papers. What local young man won $5,000 on jackpot in the third race? Well,
jackpot.
Well.
Jackpot? $5? Gee, Daddy, that's what Alan just called about. He said he hit the jackpot and won $5.
What do you know about that? Alan Young winning $5,000 on a horse. I should have known he was a gambler by that blank expression on his face. I always thought it was plain stupidity.
Daddy, Alan is not a gambler. If he has a blank expression on his face, I'm sure it's just plain stupidity. I'm sure that he... Come in. Why, hello, Alan.
Hello, Patty. Hello, Mr. Dittenpepper.
Oh, come right in, Alan, my boy. Won't you pull up a racing form and sit down?
Yeah.
I heard you had a little luck today.
Yeah, jackpot, you know.
I have my eye on Golden Girl in the third race tomorrow. I'm afraid of a wet track. Do you think she's a good mudder?
I didn't even know she was married.
Married? Oh, you gamblers.
Well, Betty, how about you and me going out tonight to celebrate? I'll show you I can do everything Cary Grant can do.
Oh, wonderful.
Look, we better hurry if we're going to do the town.
Oh, all right. Daddy, when Hubert comes, will you tell him I'm sorry I had to break his date?
You better tell him yourself. Here he comes now.
Oh, Betty, I'm here, I'm here. Come, let us dance away the night.
I'm awfully sorry, Hubert, but I can't go out with you tonight.
Oh, but you must, you must, you must.
Hubert, Betty is going out with me tonight.
Oh, Betty, please change your mind. I have 2 seats for us at the opera. Come with me, Betty, and you'll hear Martinelli from the mezzanine.
Come with me, Betty, you'll hear Juke from the box.
Betty, if you go with him to a nightclub, he'll embarrass you. Why, he doesn't know the first thing about table manners.
Oh, I don't, huh?
Why, when they give him 2 forks, he won't know what to do with them.
It just happens that I understand perfectly what to do. 1 fork is to eat with, and the other is to attract the attention of the waiter when he leans over the next table.
Hubert, you're wasting our time. I'm going with Alan, and that's final.
But, Betty, I was planning to take you to the Club 30. That's the most exclusive place in town.
If I can take her to the Club 30. After all, how much can it cost?
Last time I was there, my check was $85.
$85 is nothing to Alan tonight. He just came into a lot of money, didn't you, Alan? Well, Alan, let's go. This is one night I'm not going to worry about prices. I'm going to order the best of everything, as long as you're there to pay the bill. I've always wanted to go to the Club City. They say it's so modern. Indirect lighting, revolving stages, and... Well, I understand they even have an automatic dishwashing machine in the kitchen.
I hope so. I sure hope so.
Well, Alan's not going to feel so well when his five spot does a quick fadeaway at the nightclub. But he'll soon discover that money isn't everything.
Wonderful dance, Alan. I've always dreamed of you and I at the Club 30, dancing to the exotic music of Pedro Van Steeden and his Cuban cucarachas. Oh, you dance the rumba beautifully, Alan.
I've been doing the rumba ever since I was a kid.
How'd you ever learn?
My bicycle had a loose seat. Well, here's our table, Betty.
Alan, we've been here over an hour and... I'm getting pretty hungry.
Me too. We should have brought some lunch.
The food here must be the best. Don't you just love the smell of good food?
Yeah. As soon as the music starts, we'll dance by the kitchen and take a deep breath.
Oh, Alan, you're such a tease. Pretending that you don't want to order and all the time sitting there with a pocket full of money.
Guess I should call the waiter.
They have a French staff, you know.
Oh, that's all right. I'll address them in French. Oh, Garkin. Garkin. Gendarme.
Bonsoir, mademoiselle. Bonsoir, monsieur. Enchanté de vous voir. Je vais vous donner une belle table près de l'orchestre, n'est-ce pas?
Oh, Cresta Blanca, Cresta Blanca.
Monsieur would care for wine, yes? Mm-hmm. Well, for $12 a bottle, we have wine from La Belle France. And then for $20 a bottle, we have champagne from La Belle France.
Oh. Haven't you got any coca from La Belle Cola?
Coca-Cola, monsieur, is $5 the bottle.
But that's outrageous!
Oh, monsieur is only joking about our prices, no? Whoever comes here can afford to spend. Our minimum charge is $50.
But I have only $5.
$5? But I thought you won $5,000.
Oh, Betty, I only won $5. What am I going to do?
Oh, monsieur, I have great sympathy for you. Huh? As long as you would not have to touch the food, I do not charge you anything.
Well, I got to confess, I did drink that bowl of soup there.
Bowl of soup?
Yeah. I don't mind telling you, it tasted like water.
But, monsieur, you drank the finger bowl.
Well, how was I to know? There weren't any fingers in it.
Oh, monsieur, he is such a funny man. Mm-hmm. But you may sit and enjoy the show for nothing. But if you order any food, it is $50.
Oh, thank you very much. Murky, murky.
He certainly got you out of a scrape, Alan.
Yeah, we're all right now, eh? This is still my lucky day.
Alan, look who's coming.
Who is coming?
It's Daddy. He's headed for this table.
Oh, your daddy? Gee, if he orders food, it'll cost me $50.
Well, Dad's been a little worried about his weight lately. If you hint diplomatically that he might be putting on a few pounds, he probably won't order anything.
Oh, okay.
Here he comes now. Mm. Don't forget, Alan, be very diplomatic about his weight.
Well, hello there, Betty.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello, Alan.
Hello, Fatso.
I just thought I'd drop in and join you two lovers. Ah, I see you haven't ordered yet. That's good. I'm hungry. Waiter. I want the biggest steak you've got.
That would be $112, monsieur.
I'm not worried about the price tonight. Get me the steak.
Oh, Alan, don't worry. Daddy always picks up the check.
He does?
Oh, sure.
Oh, then what am I worried about? Mr. Never have a bottle of champagne, hey?
Oh, thanks, I will. You know, Alan, the funniest thing happened to me tonight.
Yeah?
This will kill you.
It will?
That Hubert Updike can't play a lick of poker, but tonight... This'll kill you. Tonight, Hubert cleaned me out and I haven't got a red cent in my pocket. Alan, why aren't you laughing?
I think it killed him.
Alan, what's the matter?
Mr. Get going, Bert!
Daddy, what am I going to do?
Hi, hello, everybody. May I join this happy party? Hubert, look, go away, will you? I have enough trouble here.
But all I want to do is buy a round of drinks. After all, I have $4,000 in my pocket.
$4,000?
Sit down, kid.
Hubert, mister, didn't have just ordered a big steak. Would you sort of keep him company while he eats it?
Oh, I'd be glad to.
That's the way I like to hear you talk. Betty, let's get out of here while I still have my $5. Enjoy yourselves, fellas.
Alan, I'm hungry.
Don't worry, Betty. I know just the place. How do you like this food, Betty?
Oh, I've never tasted anything more delicious in my life.
Would you care to have some more?
I certainly would.
Okay. Hey, Minnie, make that two more yo-yos with plenty of string on them.
Coming up, Blue Eyes.
Thanks, Minnie.
See you next week. Good night.
This is Bob Shepard reminding you that we'll be back again next Tuesday at the same time with Minerva Pius, the Four Chicks and Chuck, Jim Backus, Gene Gillespie, Ed Begley, Peter Van Steeten and his orchestra, and our star, that young man who is young today and young forever, Alan Young.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.